The Reduced Shakespeare Company finally made its Oklahoma premiere. We got an Oklahoma hello from Don Jordan and Oklahoma City Repertory Theater in Oklahoma City. Thank you for having us.
We're glad to have you. We're glad to have you come and join us here in the Sooner State. Oklahoma, where the wind does, in fact, come sweeping down the plains.
Does it? Well, and I've been waiting in vain for a girl who can't say no, but, you know, we've only been here for 2 days.
Yes. Wait, you can find them, but usually it's a little later at night outside of our theater, and there may be service charges.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, number 285, Oklahoma City Rep. Last weekend, we did two performances each of Completely Hollywood Abridged and The Complete World of Sports Abridged at the Oklahoma City Repertory Theater. The staff and the crowds were fantastic, and I asked founding artistic director Don Jordan to talk about the history of the theater, how he came to be one of its founding members, and how he thinks we, meaning you, meaning all of us, can best spread the love and craft of theater in the future. About the City Rep. I mean, you're just celebrated your 10th anniversary, which is outstanding. And I thought, well, you're just one of many, but you're the only professional game in town. Is that right?
Well, there are two equity theaters, professional theaters, in the state. Uh-huh. The other one is also in Oklahoma City, but it's a musical theater house, okay. The Lyric Theater.
Okay.
And we are the only regional theater, the only one that does sort of the full buffet of theater meals.
The panoply, yes,
that's right.
The grand port, yes.
Classics for crowds of literally 5 and 10.
Right.
Modern musicals, you know, yes. Comedies.
And Greater Tuna and Us,
yeah,
for the plebes.
For the intelligentsia.
Yeah, there you go.
Right.
That's what I meant to say.
There's nothing like me in pantyhose, except maybe you guys sweating and running around.
Oh, you played Joe Sears role.
Yes, Joe's a friend of mine, and Jason's a friend of mine.
Oh, so, that's funny.
So I try as hard as I can in my mature years to perform less and less, but that role still calls to me.
Well, but if you are the, what's your title? The artistic?
Founding artistic director.
So as a founding artistic director, you're probably doing the jobs of 8 other people too, right?
Yes. Like all people in the glamorous life of the American theater, in order to eat 40 of the weeks out of the year, I had to learn how to do 5 or 6 things not well.
Right.
So after years and decades of careful training and arduous work, I am now a jackass of all trades.
But the theater has gotten awards. It's just joined Theater Communications Group. Talk to me about all that.
Yes, that's right. That's right. This year we're very fortunate. Actors Equity issued a proclamation for us recognizing our professionalism and artistry, and that's the first time it's happened for any theater in the history of the state of Oklahoma. Uh-huh. And we are the first theater in the history of Oklahoma City to join TCG. There is, I believe, was one theater in Tulsa at one time that was a member, but we are the first one ever in the history of Oklahoma City. And the state awards for artistic excellence are called the Governor's Arts Awards, and this year we were very fortunate to be awarded a Governor's Arts Award. And as you said, it's only in our 10th year, so we like to think we're a little precocious, which is a nice way of saying immature.
Well, but it seems like you've accomplished a lot in those 10 years. How did you come to start this theater?
Well, this is a tragic story of a misspent youth.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. You should pick your friends in college carefully, for they will haunt you the rest of your life. This is a warning for all you young people out there. I went to college at Oklahoma City University, a very fine arts university here in Oklahoma City. My folks moved around and happened to be moved here just as I was reaching college age. Yeah. So I went to school there. I made friends there for a lifetime. For years, we were together in New York. Some of us have done, some of the other founders in the theater and I have literally done 40 or 45 plays together and toured around the world for years and that kind of thing.
Right, that's right. You were a touring actor with 42nd Street, you were saying.
42nd Street for many years. I refer to it as the brilliant art that bought me a house.
Oh, nice, yeah. Nice.
So
okay.
I really did it till nobody would do the play anymore.
Right. You rode that cow. Yeah.
Yes, I rode that cow till it was a pig. That's right. But it's a great show, and I'm grateful to it. It's a wonderful part of my life.
Sure,
you know?
I'm sure. I mean, those kind of gigs are hard to come by, and then you get one.
And when one comes, exactly. Yeah. You know, that's one thing you learn as an actor.
Yeah. It's like, who cares if it's 42nd Street? It doesn't matter.
Yeah. And the funny thing was, in that case, I never went to see it. I thought, oh, well, you know, there's nothing for me in that. That's a big dance show.
Right.
And then I got literally a call out of the blue, a friend of mine from Oklahoma City, who was also in New York, one of the other co-founders of the theater, was in the producer's office, and the fellow who they had in the comic role I was going to play got a Broadway show and was going to stay in the city. And he says, do you know a guy who can say it? I said, do I know a guy? Oh, Don Jordan's perfect. Sure. And then back then, this was before cell phones, he runs out of the office, he runs down the corner to a payphone, he calls me, he says, you got to call this guy in 10 minutes.
Wow.
And 2 weeks later, I opened.
Boom.
Yeah, and I mean, did it for years.
Right.
So.
Well, and then so then I interrupted the story. How did you get then back to Oklahoma City?
An unusual confluence of life.
Yeah.
We were unfortunately forced to be mature. I really hate to admit that under almost any circumstance.
Right.
While I was doing 42nd Street, the final tour, I was in the California company, and my father got ill with cancer, and I came to see him just before he died, and I promised him when he asked me that I would come home and take care of my mother. She lives in Dallas. That's our family's ancestral home for generations. So I'm a true Texlahoman, the rarest of all breeds. So I live half time in each state and commute every week, and I take care of my mom in Dallas. My wife and I live next door to her. So anyway, that brought me back to this part of the country. My friend Jonathan, who I was just talking about, he came home to do a production of Will Rogers' Follies, which was one of his signature shows, and he sat next to this very cute girl in the chorus named Amy. Now 12 years and 2 children later, he was very motivated to stay home a lot more. And New York didn't seem nearly as attractive as being back home.
Right.
So he was back here. A couple of other friends, similar circumstances. Family circumstances had brought them back. Yeah. And we literally all got together to have a brunch. It was just so nice to see everybody on January 1st, 1998. And as we sat around in the living room of yet another of the founder of the theaters, we said, well, isn't it a shame that with all the amazing talent that comes from here, because this really is a great theatrical training center.
Right.
It's amazing that we don't have a great regional theater. Some of those people really they owe it to the city. They should come back in. There was a long pause. I got up. I walked out to my car. I got a pad. I walked in. I made a contact sheet. And I said, we will do it. And that's how the theater was born. But I still have that contact sheet at home. One day, if we could ever afford anything so luxurious as an office, I might have it framed and hang it on the wall.
Really? You don't even, it doesn't have, there's no admin office?
We are entirely a guerrilla operation. My artistic associate works out of his home. In my case, it's practical because I commute back and forth. So I work out of my home in Dallas, and then I can pretty much run everything west of the Mississippi on my BlackBerry.
Right.
And so my car is kind of my office and my home office.
Wow.
We rent the Civic Center facility so that we do all of that as a turnkey. So yes, and we bring in talent from New York, Kansas City, Dallas, equity talent from all over the country, and then they disappear. We build our whole production model around the weekends so they can keep their agents and their day gigs happy and that kind of thing.
Right.
And so generally speaking, on Monday morning, the theater disappears. Like Brigadoon, it's just not there anymore, and it doesn't reappear until the next weekend.
That's funny, and yet you're working out of your car, and yet you got a petition from Equity saying how professional you are.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things we had done, we were, like I said, it was an unusual circumstance that we were all older. Usually you have to be young and foolish to start a theater, but we were all in our late 30s when we started it, so we actually had a fair amount of experience and some contacts and work, which I think I hate to be serious, but I think has been one of the things that helped us to build the theater and to do the good work we've done. Right. And the other thing that we've really been dedicated to was just to put every penny on the stage.
Yeah.
We try very, very hard to put on much better theater than we can reasonably afford.
Well, and you do a really interesting range. I mean, next year you're going to do the normal Heart. Last season you did Next to Normal, and yet Greater Tuna and Us.
Right.
You know, that's interesting.
Right,
that's
exactly.
Interesting.
Well, to me, that's the most interesting kind of theater.
Yeah.
You know, I like the idea that it's a really eclectic theater. There are really great theaters that serve a specific mission, you know, a certain ethnic theater or a certain type of sociological theater. Mm-hmm. But what I really like an all-you-can-eat buffet.
Yeah.
I like that. That's, we have two different spaces, mm-hmm. so that even the physical environment and the design elements are very different. The space, the black box space that we designed and built only seats about 90. Yeah. It's sort of like watching film acting on stage. And then the proscenium, of course, where you're playing is a very traditional house, yeah. warm with lovely acoustics, but better for larger suited materials and a more traditional kind of material in right. a way. But the whole point is that when you come, you get such a diversity of experiences. In my mind, I really like it when the audience says, that was my favorite show. So over the five shows a year, 20% of them enjoyed something different.
Yeah.
And they didn't all enjoy everything as the same favorite.
Right.
And when they come and have a great time, as they're having with Reduced Shakespeare,
yeah.
then they come to the normal heart. And even if that's a bit of a challenge for them, they go, well, it's like any other relationship. That's our friend Don. It's always good.
Right.
He keeps that part of the promise. I probably wouldn't have picked out that play.
Right.
But we did August Osage County a couple of years ago. And, right. you know, I mean, that's a real song fest, right?
Well, right. You have the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical, and now you've got that play.
Now I've got the play. I mean, you know, 3 hours of just hum along with the incest, suicide, alcoholism, you know, drug abuse, depression, and dysfunctional family love. You can feel it. You can feel it.
It's a toe-tap and good time.
I mean, you're waiting for that number to break out somewhere. But, you know, one, people were very interested because of the Oklahoma origins of it, not just the setting, but the playwright being from here yeah. and Tracy Letts and all of that.
Yeah.
And two, because they had come to trust us. They'll come see that, and then, you know, some of them will really love that, and then some of them will really love My Fair Lady, and some of them will really love Next to Normal
yeah.
or Laramie Project. And as long as we have the relationship
yeah.
where they will come, in the beginning, they had to buy titles, but after 10 years, you know, that's the only rule I think you can't break. I believe we can break all the rules in the theater. That's creativity, except one. It has to be good. It's not worth their time. And, you know, I'm really a grumpy old thing. It's not worth my time.
Right.
I love my wife. I love my couch. I love my dogs. And there's probably a good ball game on tonight. Mm-hmm. So it really has to be good, or I'm not happy to be there.
My name is Heidi Wallace. I was a junior Olympic platform diver when I was 8 and 11, and you are listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you RSC the RSC? We are just weeks away from our 22-city 2012 tour of the UK, where we'll be performing The Complete World of Sports Abridged in York, Buxton, Exeter, Newbury, Nottingham, Truro, Poole, Tunbridge Wells, Peterborough, Canterbury, Norwich, Derby, Hereford, Rhyl, Barnsley, Salford, Basingstoke, Crawley, Bedford, Tewkesbury, and London, where we will be returning to the Arts Theatre for 6 weeks this summer. As always, the very best way to stay up to date about all of our worldwide performance dates is to sign up for the Reduced Reader, our email newsletter. Go to ReducedShakespeare.com and click on the link to subscribe and check out our touring page for specific box office venue and ticket information. And for a short time only, the Arts Theatre in London is selling a reduced number of tickets for the special London Olympics 2012 price of 2012.
Can you talk a little bit about how different or helpful or advantageous or disadvantageous it is to bring in a company like us? How different is that from producing your own stuff?
Well, in this particular case, the very first show we ever did, we brought in when we opened the theater because they were friends of mine. They're three ladies who played Christine on Broadway,
okay.
the leading ladies, they're yeah. called. And so we brought them in and opened. That was kind of our first event. But okay. generally, we have produced our own since then.
Yeah.
However, I've long been a fan of what I consider the brilliance of the Reduced Shakespeare Company. I have to say, if the Marx Brothers were alive today, they would die laughing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful work that you guys do, and I've loved it and enjoyed it over the years. So I was looking to expand, and as part of my reading every day about the theater, I was keeping up with the sports show, and mm-hmm. I saw the review, it actually cleverly placed by the New York Times in the sports page last fall, which I thought,
wasn't that cool?
Aren't yeah. they witty? Aren't yeah. they witty at that newspaper? Look, they could actually write up there. What do you know?
Right.
So that made me have it on mind, and at first I thought, well, you know, that'll be interesting. Maybe we can produce it in a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And then when I had a slot unexpectedly open up in my season, I just thought to myself, well, you know what? Yeah, there's no foul in asking.
Right.
So I actually just wrote to Jane Martin. I wrote on the email and said, hi, can we talk about this? Is this even within the realm of possibility? And Jane and I talked about it and tried to make sure it all fit within the budgetary parameters of the theater and the time frame for you all and the other shows and commitments that you have.
Yeah.
And, you know, the theater angels beat her wings mightily and everything fit like a glove and it worked well.
So, and is it, I don't know, do you save money by bringing us in versus producing your own thing? Or is it kind of a wash when all is said and done?
Well, in this particular case, if we're actually speaking nuts and bolts, it costs a little bit more per unit because, of course, there are extra expenses for you guys.
Right.
You had to fly here from elsewhere since you don't have the good sense to live around the corner where I can use you all the time.
Exactly.
So that kind of thing, you know. So there were extra expenses that make it per day more expensive.
Right.
But on the other hand, instead of running the show 2 weeks as we do, we have you in for 1 week so that we're contracting expenses another way. And as opposed to the usual six-week rehearsal process for building a play. As you know, we rehearsed a good 15 or 20 minutes yesterday afternoon around drinks and dinner.
Yes, we did.
So that cuts down on the rental for the theater considerably. So economically, it works well.
Right.
I would actually, you know, we're talking seriously to other theater friends, I'd say really consider it. And the other thing that's really interesting about the idea, and I'd like to follow it in the future, I hope to have you guys come back, that Christmas show has me written all over it.
Well,
so
yeah.
I'm looking at that, and next year, because this has worked so well, we're going to bring in the Defending the Caveman, which was the longest running solo show in Broadway history, because another thing it does for a small, overworked theater staff is that there was a lot of great art we didn't have to make. You made it for us.
Yeah.
I worked really hard this week to ensure that all the technical elements and PR stuff happened, but it happened in a very compressed time frame.
Right.
So instead of 6 weeks of really hard work, we worked really hard for a week, and before you came, we had a couple of weeks where I actually got laundry and a nap.
Well, really? Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Or as we call it, usually a hospital stay. But you know,
talk a little bit about teaching. You were talking yesterday about teaching and mentoring, and you know, working with young folks about what we tell me your theories about that.
All right. Well, like, you know, I hate to get too, you know,
pedantic.
Yes. I don't want to be the either Harry Thunderer or the Cosmic Muffin here, but speaking in a very specific way, I grew up in a family where there wasn't a lot of arts. The teachers at OCU changed my life on a really personal level. They were college teachers who showed me how to have a life in the theater. And so I have always felt profoundly grateful for that and wanted to give that back. That's on an individual level. And as I get a little more, mature, into my 39th year for the 13th or 14th time, so I really realize that that's kind of everything that all of us have to do.
Right.
You know, everything that it motivates you. You would like to leave the place a little better than you found it. Have a really good time, take care of the people around you, and make sure that it's a little nicer when you left than when you got there. Pave another foot of road, plant another tree. The people who taught us how to love the theater are gone now. We have to teach the people behind us how to love and build the theater. We've been doing that for 2,500 years. So I kind of think that's all of our mission in life every single day.
Yeah.
And specifically, my little tiny corner of the garden, like Candide, is the theater corner. Fortunately, it's the one thing in life I appeared to have a tiny modest talent for. Otherwise, I guess I'd just be an all-star homeless guy. You know, 35 years under a bridge. He set a land record there.
Well, it's good to have another niche
that
you're good at.
Right. Yeah, this one doesn't pay quite as well as the homeless thing, but you know, it's a lot more entertaining.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your 10-year-old theater via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can also post comments on many of our website pages, and you can post reviews on iTunes. You can interact with other fans at our website and our Reduced Shakespeare Company Facebook fan page. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter @Reduced. You can find easy links to all these social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey. He's Just a Boy Who Can't Say No, Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Walt Spader. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to former junior Olympian Heidi Wallace. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 285/855 of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
The
This podcast is a production of the Reduce Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reduceshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less.
So much less.